You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, Kings fans. Welcome in to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all season long. If you're looking for highlights, in-depth analysis, interviews, all of that jazz, we have it right here for you on the number one podcast for Sacramento Kings coverage. This is Locked On Kings. I have the privilege of being your host, Matt George from Sports 1140 KHDK. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist, and I will be on the air of KHDK tonight, live from the Golden 1 Center, getting ready for the Sacramento Kings, taking on the Washington Wizards at 5:30 for game night up on the concourse. If you are walking the concourse, if you are there before 6:30, and you walk by the Tower Records sign, I think it's section around like 118 or something like that, maybe 108, I don't know. If you head over that in direction, you'll see me on the stage with the high flyer, Henry Turner, doing a show. Would love to see you. Say hi. So if you want to come by and you see me at the table during one of the breaks, come up. Please feel free to let me know you listen to the podcast. We'll chat a little bit. I'll shake your hand. I'll thank you for listening to the podcast. And it'll be great to meet each and every single one of you at the Golden 1 Center tonight if you are heading out there for the Kings versus the Washington Wizards. Today's podcast is going to be filled with Kings and Wizards previews. However, that's not going to be the first thing we talk about. I want to discuss Harry Giles, and I want to discuss the struggles that he's been dealing with over these first five games of his really NBA career. And I want to remind everybody of the journey that he has been on and the appropriate brakes being slammed on the hype train. And that's okay. It's a good thing. It's fine. I mean, it's growth for a young man who is still ridiculously talented. Let's not mistake anybody. Like, Harry Giles has not lost his talent in these first five games. It's just been a rude awakening into the NBA, and a lot of it has to do with the level of competition that he's been facing consistently. So we're going to talk about Harry Giles and all that. I'll share my previews and my thoughts for this Kings and Wizards matchup, which I actually think will be a good, fun, entertaining game and a very winnable game for the Kings. However, you got to watch out because these Washington Wizards might be out for blood tonight because they have been off to a very rough start this season. And again, I will be on KHDA game night at 5:30 from 5:30 to 6:30. If you're driving to the arena, please tune in on your radio AM 1140, or you can listen via the KHDK app on your Android or Apple store, or you can listen online and stream it online if you're sitting at home at your desk or at your computer or whatever. But let's start with this Harry Giles thing. So we forget that this kid's still 20 years old, right? And we heard all this great hype. We heard all this great excitement for Harry Giles coming into this season all last year, how well he was doing in practice, the energy that he plays with, the hustle, the intensity that he plays with, his passing ability, his ability to hit the shot when he gets the opportunity to get it off. And all of those are still true. Now, through five games, let's get the brutal part out of the way. Harry Giles has now played five official games of his NBA career, same amount as Marvin Bagley. It's safe to say that Marvin Bagley looks a heck of a lot more comfortable and confident as the number two pick than Harry Giles does as the number 20 pick, who is also coming off of extreme knee injuries. Like, Harry Giles, we forget, has not played basketball competitively for 2 years. You can't just pick up a basketball, play a couple of summer league games, play five games in the NBA against the best competition in the world after 2 years of being on the pine. Even if you spent all last year in practicing against NBA teammates, you can't just pick it up and be all of a sudden ready to go. It's still, you can tell watching Harry Giles play that he is relearning the game of basketball, relearning where to position himself, what's a good shot and what's not, especially defensively. We're going to discuss his fouls and his foul trouble in just a second. But looking at the stats for Harry Giles through five games, he's averaging just 4 points per game, 3.8 to be exact. He's shooting just 30% from the field. He also averages 3.8 fouls. He averages the same amount of fouls as he does points per game, three rebounds and one assist in 13 minutes. First and foremost, the 13 minutes should stand out to you. Harry Giles is only really getting 13 minutes a night. That's because of two reasons. One, it's been difficult for him to find time off of the bench. And two, he gets in a lot of foul trouble very quickly. That's probably the biggest gripe that I have against Harry Giles' game. And it's just learning. It's just stuff that he has to remember and things that he has to pick up and things that will come with time. Harry Giles' biggest problem on the defensive end is that instead of putting his hands straight up, he puts his hands up and out at an angle or straight out at an angle to try and body up his opponent. Harry Giles is also undersized and he's playing at the center role a lot. He's actually playing a lot of the role that we saw Zach Randolph playing last year. Harry is a tall guy, and he's a muscular guy, and he has all the fight on the planet, but he is not quite big enough to be able to guard and stay in front of some of the centers like Steven Adams and Marc Gasol that he has been facing. Now, the biggest issue with how Harry Giles is playing defense is because his hand is out instead of up, smart NBA players, NBA veterans, which typically he is ending up guarding, know that they can go straight up into his hand and they're going to get the call every time. Because unless he gets the top of the ball or the hand, when the hand is on touching the ball and you go up for a shot, if I am the defender and I hit your hand, it counts as a block shot. Your hand is part of the ball. However, if you get my wrist, or sorry, if I get your wrist, so if you're just going up for a shot, you recognize that my hand is out, and you go up for a shot, and instead of hitting the top of your hand, I hit your wrist. Instant foul, instant trip to the line, and that has been the biggest issue for Harry Giles. And a lot of it, those fouls are so touchy and so iffy and so frustrating, and you can see the visible frustration on the face of Harry Giles because a lot of times you're not getting a clean shot off. You don't even have a shot of the three-point play. If you're coming right into my hand and I'm hitting your arm's not getting up for a shot. But you're still getting to the line every time. So it's just little things. And you can see Harry Giles is mentally working on it and trying to battle through it. Now, the good that he has been doing is his passing ability. I don't think the Kings are utilizing that enough, especially in the high post. Harry Giles has also been getting good looks at the basket. They just haven't been falling. I'm going to point to the New Orleans Pelicans game, the second game of the season, as the biggest indicator of that. That was probably his best performance of the season, and he didn't even shoot that well. But he was getting open looks, he was getting to good spaces, and the shots just weren't falling. That's also going to come with time. You have to recognize that it's confidence that he's growing. So, if you're to ask me, Matt, Harry Giles, we heard so much of this hype around this guy. So many compliments from his teammates, so much of this grit and this effort and this intensity. Someone that could possibly compete for the Rookie of the Year. And then he turns in five games like this and is almost non-existent and is struggling to find the floor. What's the deal? Did we overhype him? Is he washed up? Is he bad? First and foremost, no. Not at all. In fact, the biggest bright spot and the most important part of Harry Giles so far this season is the fact that he has played five games and you have completely forgotten that he has been dealing with any injury issues. And we're talking about Harry Giles, the player, not Harry Giles, the cripple or someone who's coming off of a potential career-ending injury. Like, that's positive. Harry Giles has played five games full speed at the NBA level and has had zero indication that he has any issues other than a young man, a young player, in a very talented and difficult NBA. Like, that is fantastic. That is a blessing. Because one of the things we are concerned about is what happens when Harry Giles gets back to going to game speed. Is he going to be a little afraid to do what he used to do because of the injuries of his past? Is he going to re-aggravate the injury? Could he get re-injured again? And then his career is most certainly done. We haven't seen that at all. To me, that's an absolute positive for Harry Giles. But going back to the question, is the hype train over? Is it done? Did we over-exaggerate? Not at all. And to be honest with you, I'm not concerned about Harry Giles. I would like to see him succeed. I would like to see him do better, and I think he's going to do better over time. And really, it might be one or two games that he just has to get confidence. But one of the things I love about this young man is that he is constantly in a mindset that he can get better, that he can improve, and he is going to be the best player on that floor by the end of the day. And you can see that in his demeanor. You can see that in how he interacts with his teammates. You can see that in how he comes out and interacts with media members in the locker room. Harry Giles, following the game against the Memphis Grizzlies, Harry had a terrible game. He came into the first half, was completely overmatched, had four turnovers in 4 minutes, came out, didn't play at all in the second half. Harry Giles, after the game, you would think, okay, maybe he's solemn, maybe he's frustrated, maybe he's mad at himself. Media standing outside the locker room, outside the tunnel, going to go in and do their typical interviews, post-game interviews, and Harry comes out. He had showered quickly, he had gotten out quickly, with sometimes that's an indication that he doesn't want to talk to the media. He's frustrated, he's angry, he doesn't want to talk to the media, he wants to just get out there and get out there quickly. Well, it turns out he was going to meet some friends and family that had come to the game. But as he walks by the media, he stops, and he intentionally talks to myself, Jason Jones, he's talking with everybody, making sure that they know, like, hey, I'm not just ditching you. I'm not trying to dodge your questions. I have family here. And he still had a positive attitude. He still had a positive mindset. I got a second to chat with him for a couple seconds, just saying, hey, man, keep your head up. Keep doing well. And he was fine. He was great. He's like, yeah, tough game. I learned a lot. I played against one of the best veteran centers in the league and Marc Gasol. I got my ass handed to me. But I learned. And that's all you can ask from a guy like Harry Giles, is just to keep on learning. And I appreciate the mindset that Harry Giles plays with, and you hear it in every single one of his teammates when you ask them about Harry Giles, whether it's on the record or off the record. You'll ask them, is Harry okay? Is he starting to freak out that the game's maybe a little too fast for him? Did the hype get to him? Is there too much on his shoulders? And every single one of his teammates will say, look, the dude's fine. He's still contributing, playing really hard in practice, and he's doing what he needs to be doing on the floor, except he keeps getting into foul trouble, and he really hasn't gotten an opportunity to play with any sort of rhythm yet. I mean, think about it. Harry Giles, in terms of his minutes distribution, hasn't gotten a large enough chunk of playing time, except for that New Orleans Pelicans game where he had to because of the foul trouble of his teammates. And in that game, he was getting good looks. They just weren't falling. Now imagine if those shots start to fall. Suddenly the confidence is there. Maybe you get more games like the New Orleans Pelicans game. You're never going to question, this is the one great thing about Marvin Bagley as well, one of many great things, but with these two guys, you are never, ever going to question their effort, their intensity, and their hustle. And I tell you what, the Sacramento Kings could definitely use a Harry Giles that is out there on the floor, not in foul trouble, especially when it comes to rebounding, because the Kings have been out-rebounded bad so far throughout the season. They've been especially killed on the offensive glass, giving up way too many second chance opportunities. And guys like Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles, who have a nose for the basketball and who have a no quit, not going to back down, no BS attitude, you certainly need them. And they can certainly be a part of this team. So there's no cause, in my opinion, for concern about Harry Giles. Maybe a welcome pump the brake a little bit. And maybe this is just as much for us, fans, media members, everybody who is talking about this kid all summer long and all last year. Maybe this is just as much for us as it is for him. Because if you sit back and you take away the narrative that we've kind of put over this kid, it makes sense what he's going through. 20 years old, undersized, first professional game in 2 years. Well, first professional game ever, but his first game back on the floor at full speed in 2 years. Like, you realize how much of a hole that is that he's trying to work himself out of and he's trying to climb out of. And if you take away the storylines that we've projected onto him, and maybe he's projected onto himself, he's probably doing exactly what you would expect. So I'm fine with Harry Giles. I think he's going to be fantastic. I think he's going to be okay. I expect him getting minutes tonight in a bounce-back performance because that's just kind of the guy he is. And all it takes is one or two games of Harry Giles getting his feet underneath him and getting back to how well he was playing in Summer League. And you notice, one of the things you notice about Harry Giles playing in Summer League, and go back and watch the Summer League games, or at least watch his highlights, watch the freedom that he plays with. Like, before I started watching or recording this podcast, I went back and watched. And just look how little he's actually thinking and how much he's just doing and how much he's just playing. And compare that to what we've seen from him so far in these first five games at the NBA level. The game is too fast for him. Dave Yeager has said the game is too fast for a lot of these players. That's to be expected when your average age is 22, 23 years old. The game will slow down for him over time. And we've seen, based off of Summer League, that when he is playing confidently, he's in his rhythm, he's in the motions, he's not overthinking things, he can be very, very talented. And even through the struggles so far this season, we've seen phenomenal passing from him in his limited action. We've seen good rebounding. We've seen him get good shots, good shot selection. Look out once they start dropping. Because Harry Giles is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And he's got all the time in the world to come back and to establish himself. There is no expectation other than Harry's to become a star. I mean, I think Kings fans would like him to become that, but I don't think anybody in their right mind is watching Harry Giles play and projecting Rookie of the Year and projecting Future Star and projecting Hall of Famer and projecting one of the guys to lead us out of the promise or out to the promised land and back into the playoffs. I don't ever think anybody in their right mind is projecting that on him. If they are, then they're foolish because he's got to earn that. Harry is going to be just fine, in my opinion. I think he's great. I think he's a great young man. Fantastic hustle. Fantastic effort. And someone who, once he gets that confidence back and gets that confidence underneath him, he's a very versatile player. And he is someone that can absolutely, absolutely help this Kings team win. So the Kings are taking on the Washington Wizards tonight. Very interesting. If you remember when these two teams met last season inside the Golden 1 Center, it was a Sunday matinee game, and I remember this game well. Probably for all the wrong reasons. It was De'Aaron Fox's first official NBA start, and lo and behold, he was going up against John Wall, one of the other fastest guards on the planet. John Wall torched him. In fact, the Washington Wizards torched the Kings from top to bottom in general. The game wasn't close. It was ugly, it was disgusting, it got out of hand quick, early, and that was pretty much it. Kings are coming off a win, the Washington Wizards are coming off of a loss. Dave Yeager talked about the importance of being 2-3 heading into Game 6 and versus being 1-4. Like how big of a difference that looks. I wonder if you did the exercise that I told you to do yesterday. But if you haven't and you do have a piece of paper in front of you, just write down 1-4 and then write down 2-3. So 1-4 and 2-3. And look at it from a record standpoint. Look at those two records right in front of you right now and tell me 2-3 doesn't look 10,000 times better than 1-4. It's a mental thing. Kings are 2-3 heading into this matchup, looking for revenge based off of last year, I suppose. Certainly a better team. De'Aaron Fox definitely ready to prove that was my first ever NBA start and you torched me, John Wall. Now I'm better. I'm playing out of my mind right now. The numbers for De'Aaron Fox right now, I'll have to bring them to this podcast and share them with you at some point. But the numbers for De'Aaron Fox right now amongst his peers, fellow point guards from last year's draft, are astounding. De'Aaron Fox is playing out of his mind right now, which is fantastic. That's what you expected out of the future star of this team. Quickly becoming the current star of this team. But look out for these Washington Wizards, because these Wizards are pissed off. And what I mean by that is they are 1-4 in this season, and they're coming off of getting their ass handed to them by the Golden State Warriors, 144-122. Now, that doesn't sound horrible. They lost by 22 points. I mean, that's a bad loss for a team that expects to be in the top of the Eastern Conference playoff run. But remember what Steph Curry did in that game? That was the game where Curry scored, I think it was 51 or 52 points in three quarters. He wasn't missing. He was torching the Wizards. In fact, they were completely embarrassed. The fact that they were able to drop 122 points, like the 144-122 final score, is not even a close indication to how much of a blowout this game was. Now, the Wizards did manage to do a good job in the third quarter, work their way back in. Curry came back, and the Golden State Warriors stepped on the throat. I mean, we know that. The Golden State Warriors are probably going to be the NBA champions again because they're just insane. But the Wizards are looking at this game. They're coming to the Golden One Center tonight thinking, okay, we're 1-4. We're off to a terrible start. We need to get right. What better way to get right than against one of the worst teams in the Western Conference historically? A young team that is still figuring things out while we are an established playoff program and product. And on top of that, last year, in this one game inside the Golden One Center, we smacked this team up one side and down the other. So Washington's coming into this game knowing full well and believing fully that this is going to be the game, the tune-up game. And even their fans, I'm sure, will feel the same way. So the Kings have to be careful with this Washington Wizards team, because I guarantee you they're going to come out of the gate seeking vengeance with a fire in their eyes. And a lot of it won't be, it might be, we might be subjected to, and I hope this isn't the case, and the Kings might get caught here, but we might be subjected to the Kings just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. The Wizards being on the warpath, and the Kings were, unfortunately, the first wall in their way, and they just decided to pound through it. Now, I would take that storyline and run with it and project that into my predictions for tonight's game if it was last season. But this season, based off of the games that we've seen, the stats for both these teams, and where this team is trying to go and the personnel that are currently playing for this team, I expect a competitive ball game. In fact, I think this is a very winnable game for the Kings, an opportunity for them to withstand the early storm, and I honestly believe that there's going to be an early push and an early storm from this Washington Wizards starting lineup. They're going to want to come out of the gate hot and establish themselves, dominate like they did last year. Can the Kings not only handle that, but counter that with offense of their own? Now, remember, the Kings got off to probably their worst offensive start last game against Memphis. They managed to hang around. A lot of it was because Memphis couldn't make any shots in the second quarter and extend their lead. But the Kings can't afford to fall behind by 10-12 by the end of the first quarter for this Wizards team, because they are a team that's going to be able to continue to add on to it. Take a look at some of these numbers here, or take a listen. The Washington Wizards are number 6 in scoring, just one ahead of the Kings, who are number 7 in total points per game scored. They're dangerous from the perimeter. We know the speed of John Wall attacking the basket, so he's going to be able to get to the rim and potentially get the Kings' bigs in a lot of foul trouble. Kings perimeter defense has been shaky at best, and not just with guarding and contesting the three-point shot, which we know Bradley Beal's on this team. We know there are a lot of three-point shooters on this Wizards team. But Kings guards on the perimeter have been getting blown by. And this Wizards roster is full of players that'll happily blow right by you and get to the rim and either get fouled or convert for an easy lay-in or dunk. But biggest weakness for this Wizards team, they're 1-4. Clearly the scoring isn't carrying them. Why? Because they're the worst defensive team in the league. They allow the most points per game, 122 points per game they're averaging, giving up through five games. Kings coming off of their worst offensive game of the season, but they won against the Memphis Grizzlies. At least worst in terms of points per game scored. And remember, I discussed with you on yesterday's podcast the importance of establishing the three-point shot. If the Kings come out of the gate the same way they did against Memphis, just attacking the basket, attacking the rim, being aggressive, which is good without establishing the three-point shot, they're going to be in trouble. If they can establish the three-point shot and open up the inside for guys like De'Aaron Fox to get going, or for Marvin Bagley and Willie Cauley-Stein down there, because I think the Kings do have the advantage in terms of big men in this game, then the Kings, in my opinion, can win this game and should win this game. The Wizards are reeling. They're trying to figure things out. They're clearly frustrated. They might be on their last gasp in terms of, we're going to give this team one more run, try and make the playoffs, see if we can do anything in the playoffs itself. If not, then maybe it's time to make some moves and pick a guy or two to hang on to and blow up the rest, reevaluate the supporting cast. But the Kings, despite the fact that they might be running into a buzzsaw of pissed off Wizards who know that they can get a win, and should get a win, at least on paper. Kings have home court. Kings are coming off the win. Kings are young. They have intensity. They score a lot of points. They run up and down the floor. And they can come out and establish themselves offensively early just as much as the Wizards can. I expect a very high-scoring game in this one. Two bad defensive teams with two top 10 offenses going right at each other. The question is, who creates the most separation first, and which defense is able to hold on to that separation? I think, honestly, the Wizards have the advantage in terms of if they built a 10-point lead, I expect their defense to be able to hold a little bit better because the Kings' young offense might start to panic a little bit. The first 10 minutes of this game are crucial to me. If Washington comes out of the gate, scores a lot, puts up a lot of points, runs the Kings out of the gym, a lot of shots from the outside, getting to the rim. John Wall is on a mission, looking like an MVP. Then the Kings are going to lose this game and probably not have much of a shot in the second half. If the Kings can withstand that storm, then maybe. Maybe they'll be in an opportunity to win this game, and I think they should be in an opportunity to win this game. Kosta Kuvos is also expected to come back, although I don't know how much he is going to be playing. I did have the opportunity to chat with him off the record, off camera, after the win against Memphis. Such a great guy. If you ever get a chance to talk to Kosta Kuvos, talk movies or cars with him. He loves movies and he loves cars. But when we were done talking about movies or cars, I asked him if he was good to go or officially going to go for this game. And he said, most likely, yeah. And then I asked him what he expects in terms of playing time. And essentially what he told me was that he is always going to be ready to go no matter what. He's always geared up wherever the coach wants needs him and wants to play him. He's going to be there and he's going to be ready to play. However, he has been told, as has everybody, that this team is going young. So to me, it sounds like Kosta doesn't really know exactly what his role is going to be. However, I can say this. I know that they could certainly use his rebounding and the little extra things that he brings that don't always show up in a stat column. Now that means he's going to be taking minutes away and potentially those are Harry Giles' minutes. Maybe Nemanja Bjelica's, because you're certainly not taking minutes away from Marvin Bagley and Willie Cauley-Stein, which, by the way, I wonder how long it's going to take until Marvin Bagley is getting his start. Is it going to be tonight that Marvin Bagley gets the start? My gut says no. I still think the Kings like what he has been doing off of the bench. So I think they're going to continue to bring or have Bjelica start at the four and bring Bagley off the bench, although you can see he's the first one subbing into the game around the 8 to 7 minute mark in the first quarter, pretty consistently. Justin Jackson should start at the three again. I'm looking for a better shooting game from him, but he did a great job helping elsewhere when the shot wasn't falling against Memphis, finishing with 11 rebounds, so he deserves a lot of credit for that. I like this Kings team. I like what they have going. They have a real opportunity to be 500 by the end of this game. 500 heading onto the road against three very beatable opponents in the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic, and the Atlanta Hawks. I said at the beginning of this year, if the Kings were going to be successful and reach their best case scenario, it's going to be against the Eastern Conference, especially against the Eastern Conference at home. And I don't care if the Washington Wizards are a former playoff team. The Kings have only played one team so far this season that hasn't been a former playoff team. Maybe it's two, because I don't think Denver just barely snuck in. Point is, Kings have taken on very tough competition from top to bottom. The one game they should have won, they did win against the Memphis Grizzlies at home. Keep on with that momentum, and we'll see if they can continue to excel and have a good night here tonight. Again, if you're heading to the game and you're going to be there before 6:30, I will be hosting game night on the concourse by the Tower Records sign, also by the Kings team store. So please come by and say hi. You can meet myself and the high flyer, Henry Turner. Then immediately following me at 6:30, it's Kings Live with Jason Ross and the G-Man, Gary Gerald. Dave Deuce Mason will be there as well. So come by, say hi, meet us, come watch the pregame show a little bit, or you can go watch warm-ups, whatever, losers. but I would love to meet you out there at the Golden One Center. So if you're coming by, please let me know. You can reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Would love to meet each and every single one of you who listen. If you're driving and you want to listen to the game night show hosted by myself and the High Flyer, Henry Turner, please do. AM 1140 on your radio dial if you're driving to the game, or you can stream it on your phone at any time. Just download the KHDK app on either the Android store or the Apple iTunes store. I appreciate everybody listening here today. I really think this is going to be a good and winnable game, a good opportunity for the Sacramento Kings to make up for last year's bad performance against Washington at home. And I'm looking for good things tonight. Pay attention to these first 7 to 10 minutes of this game. I think they're going to be crucial. I think they're going to be fun. A high-scoring affair is what I'm expecting. Fast-paced, back and forth. If the Kings can establish the three-point shot and allow that to open up their inside game, I think they will beat the Washington Wizards and be 500 when I come back and chat with you on Monday. Until then, thank you so much for another great week here on the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.